This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, so Robert Saleh is going to join us during the 5 o'clock hour. A lot of stuff to talk to him about. Obviously, the big story in the world right now is DeMar Hamlin yesterday having cardiac arrest on the field. And then they suspended the game with about 5 minutes left in the first quarter. The players couldn't go on. The right decision was made to not play the game. But a lot of people have asked me on Twitter, and this is not an insensitive remark, but it's a legitimate question, I think. What if that same thing, God forbid, happened 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 9 minutes into the first quarter of the Super Bowl? Are you not playing the Super Bowl?
You're not playing the Super Bowl.
You really believe that, Don? No,
you can't.
What do you mean?
How is it any different, honestly? How is it any different?
It's financially different.
Oh, right, but you can't let – right, it's financially different, but really from – so you're going to let finances for the richest sport in North America to get in the way of that field? Well, I mean, it would be even more callous.
But Don, you can't just ignore the fact that it's a $12 billion industry.
Understood.
I mean,
we'll play the game tomorrow. Sorry.
Ooh, wow.
I'm sorry. You can't. You're the commissioner of a sport.
You're saying, Don, the moral thing. You're saying morally you can't. I think what Michael's saying is, yeah, sure. But at the same time, is that really what they do? Is that what this league done? Have they shown us over the years that we should trust what they would do?
And also, I think there's a complete line of delineation. If the young man passes away, then I don't know if he could play. But if he's alive and in the hospital, and even if he's in bad shape, I wonder if they would say we can't play the game.
If it was the Super Bowl.
If it was the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yesterday, it's a no-brainer. Obviously, the players couldn't go on. But you can't cancel a Super Bowl. I just wonder what would happen if the mindset would change.
You could do anything. So then it just comes down to, do you want to be the commissioner of a sport that put money over emotion?
But they do all the time.
A lot of people that are going to be. I know they do it all the time, Peter. But when you.
But in this case, it would be so obvious.
But it would just be so obvious in front of everyone. I don't know if you'd be able to get up from it. Again, I understand. Now, maybe the players feel differently if it's a Super Bowl as opposed to a regular season game. But the interesting thing about this is that we didn't know. I mean, I woke up this morning not knowing what the news was going to be. Now, he's still not out of the woods, and we're coming close to 24 hours since it happened. So, like, what if they decided, okay, they've got his pulses back. His vitals are normal. He isn't breathing on his own, but right now he's in critical condition, but he's alive, and the doctors are with him. Let's go play. And then you play a quarter, and the news comes down that he just passed. You're going to pull everybody off the field again and not play?
It's a tough spot.
It's only a tough spot in the awkwardness of sponsors and the fans that paid a lot of money. But again, it just becomes a choice of money and finances over a human being's life.
But
right there in front of everybody with millions of people watching, could the commissioner afford to make that kind of a decision?
Now, let me just say this, though. While I hear you, and yes, it's just a game, the argument on the other side is it's not just money and greed on the other side, Michael. It is the livelihood of tons of people. Like, yes, we think about this league and the money that exists for the owners and everybody who's rich, but there are tons of people employed by this league who need that money to keep going too. It's not as simple, Michael, as just money and greed. The reason the game, the reason the show must go on, and by the way, again, we all think they did absolutely the right thing last night. My guess is it was the players who led that. The NFL followed suit. I think it was the right thing to do. But I don't think it's always callous to have a conversation about what would you do, because it's not as simple as it being about greed. There's a lot on the line for a lot of people, and not only rich people.
No, I don't think it's I might tend to agree with Don, but I'm stunned that he says it's so cut and dried. I don't think it's so cut and dried. I mean, this is as callous as this sounds, this is humongous business. And you're just going to cavalierly say, well, there's no Super Bowl this year. I mean, they played through COVID. They played through COVID in empty stadiums because of money, Don.
Well, nobody is suggesting that the Super Bowl not be played, right? You're going to crown a champion at some point. Maybe the game is delayed a couple of days. Maybe it's delayed a week. Whatever it is, a champion will still be crowned. Finances, the money will be reimbursed. The fans will get their money back for their tickets. I mean, yeah, there'll be some awkward moments and there'll be some money lost, but we're talking about a league that prints money. Can you really afford to have that look that we can't do it. The game is bigger than a person dying in it or being in the condition that he's in it. I understand everything that's being said across the board, but I think the reaction you got when we started the show, Michael, you said that you were surprised like that people were so upset that it took so long to postpone the game. That's the reality, and we're in a better place now than they were. Michael, I don't have any doubt that 30 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, that game probably continues and plays. I think we're a lot more sensitive now, post 9/11, post COVID now, and I think we're in a better place for that. We're not as callous about death as we were years ago, when the show must go on, as Peter said. The vibe just didn't feel right to play last night. And if the vibe was the same way at the Super Bowl, then you do what's right, and you just hope that over time you'll be able to correct whatever mistakes are made or any kind of problems or reimbursements that have to go through. I don't think a Super Bowl should change the feeling. Because, again, you're saying that, this is week 17. It's not as important as somebody that possibly could have died. But the Super Bowl, come on, that's more important. That's at the end of the day what you'd be saying.
But
can you afford to say that?
No, you can't afford to say it. And, again, I think that you're probably right, but the way you're looking at it so cut and dried, I think it's not as black and white as you say. And also, I think times have changed a lot. If it happened yesterday, what happened to Joe Theismann with Lawrence Taylor? Would the players have been able to go on? The guy's bone was sticking out of his leg. His foot was pointing in the wrong direction. How do you go on from that? And every football player could absolutely associate that with themselves. That could happen to me. Would they be able to play? That was a Monday Night Football game. Would they have been playing after that, Don? No. Probably not.
It was a different world. I don't know. I brought up two suggestions like 9/11 and COVID, but I do think we're in a much different place than we were, you know, years ago, where I wouldn't be surprised if that game would continue to play. And there's still, you know, I know ESPN had issued a statement. We had issued a statement because, again, Joe Buck's under fire. Like, where did this information come that they're going to have a five-minute cooling down period and then come back out? Was that the original plan? Or, you know, because Troy Vincent saying, no, that was never the plan. We were not going to play. Or was that the plan, Michael? Did the NFL want to play that game? And because the players refused, they then made it seem like it was their idea all along that they weren't going to play. I don't know.
I hate to guess because it's not fair.
I don't know.
My guess would be they wanted a cooling off period and to consider playing again. That's my guess. Now, The Athletic is writing that ESPN is standing by its reporting, and they were in constant contact at the highest levels of ESPN and Disney speaking with the NFL. So Joe Buck didn't get that by just guessing it. Somebody told them of import that they're considering this. But I think that at the end, they all got together and said, you know what? This is the way it's going to be. We're not going to play the game. The players didn't want to play the game. And the NFL read the tea leaves and said, the right thing to do, let's not fight with the players here and force them to play. It's going to look awful. Mm-hmm. And everybody's in agreement. Let's just postpone the game, which was the right move. But I do disagree, and I said this at the beginning. Social media screaming, postpone it right away. Just cancel the game. He left the field at 9:25. They announced the game was canceled at 10:01. For a $12 billion industry with a lot of layers to it, did it pretty good. I'm sorry, they did it pretty well.
People want to always skew more on the negative. Now, here's the question that I have.
Well, you know what, real quick, Don, you know what it was, though, also? Yeah. It's that when Booger put the pressure on the league, and he did a great job, by the way. It was very compelling TV. Once Booger said, you got to do the right thing and cancel the game, which, by the way, I thought it was a really good thing to say and sort of brave for the spot that he's in working with the NFL and ESPN to say it. Once he said that, all of social media copycatted it. And they said, oh, you have to stop it. It meant something coming from Booger.
No, I think social media was way more on that even before he said
really?
It.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was following
But he said
it
relatively early.
Yeah, but they were saying, Ryder, you got to cancel this. Like, Roger Goodell. I mean, first of all, we don't even know what Roger Goodell was doing when all this happened. You would assume he's watching Monday Night Football. We have no idea. He could have been anywhere. And then he has to be filled in. There are a lot of layers to this. You can't just snap your fingers and say this game is canceled.
Yeah,
you have to talk to Bob Iger, the head of Disney. You have to do all of that stuff.
Well, I don't think you have to do that.
Yes,
I
mean, you do. They're partners, Don. Of course.
It says it in the bylaws. The commissioner can have the final say. But you don't worry about this. No, that's a partner.
You're looking at bylaws. We're talking about realism here. Disney's a big investor in the NFL.
I don't care. All I have to do is say the world that Disney wanted to play the game, and I told them no. Disney would not want that kind of heat. No, I don't. I'm not saying that Disney wanted to. Of course, it has nothing to do with it.
But it's being reported that they were in constant contact with ABC. Why? Because they wanted to see what Abbott Elementary was going to be next week. Of course, they're in contact.
Well, I just think that's a bad job. Like, why would you care?
Because they're one of your partners.
It's on you, man.
They're one of your partners, Don.
Well, if you don't want to play the game. You don't play the game. The players don't want to play the game. You don't play the game.
No, no, that's the answer. If the players don't want to play, you don't have an option. That's the thing. The players have the power. Bob Iger actually tweeted out the most important thing
right now is DeMar Hamlin.
Right.
And he's the head of Disney. But to say, I mean, your head's in the sand if you don't think that if it was on Fox that they wouldn't be calling up Rupert Murdoch.
No, the only people that I'm in communication with is the NFL Players Association. Do the players want to play in this game? And if the players don't want to play, I can't. ABC doesn't have a say. Fox doesn't have a say. Players don't want to play.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I'm with Michael. That's fantasy land. That's no one's going to talk to the people. If there's no Disney involvement yesterday, the whole world doesn't know that it's happening.
They're partners. They're not just a broadcast. They're partners to the NFL. Fox, Disney, NBC, they're partners. Now, I don't think that Bob Iger would say, I want you to play this game no matter what, but they are kept in constant in the loop about what's going on.
I get you're going to keep them informed, but I don't think they have a say. They don't have a say. That's my point. You could let them know, listen, we're not going to play this game, here's the conversation. I've been on the phone with Troy Vincent. I've been on the phone with DeMora Smith. We're having a conversation about what we're going to do moving forward. I'll keep you informed of what's happening. That, of course, because you're our partner. But if they say we're playing this game, no, it's not up to you.
No,
you don't have a say.
But I wouldn't say they don't have a say in the sense that I'm sure they could have said, hey, let me put it this way. It would be meaningful if Bob Iger says to Roger Goodell, and Goodell then transmits this to everyone else. Iger says, we'll do whatever. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Whatever you guys need to do, we as Disney will follow suit. That's meaningful.
Sure, how about this, Don? What if the NFL wanted to play the game and Iger goes, I don't want any part of this game right now, and he's a partner? They have to listen to him.
They're not going to
play the game without it being on ABC. If Bob Iger says, I don't think it's the right thing to do, then that carries a lot of weight. I'm sorry, it does.
I tend to agree.
Now, you're a racing fan, Don. Dale Earnhardt died. Did they start the Daytona 500? Was there a restart after he died?
Oh, it was on the final lap. The race was over.
Okay.
And then the WWE, after Owen Hart died, they continue WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, although it's something that that Vince McMahon had to deal with, sort of lived down for a very long time.
But soccer players have died on the pitch, and they continue the game.
No, they died
on the pitch.
No, it's happened. Listen,
to say it's 100% they're going to cancel it, I think that's wrong.
Oh, no. That whole idea last night, I really feel that everyone being so sure the game was going to get canceled is only an indicator of how much the NFL is trying to clean up the previous image that it's had. In the past, guys, I think even if the players had said, we don't want to play, the NFL would have forced the game to happen.
Absolutely.
Yesterday happened because of the last few years and the fact that players have been given more freedom and credence. That 3 years ago, if God forbid the same thing had happened, they're playing the game last night.
And they probably just say, you're playing. But now I think there's more of a collaborative relationship.
As there should be.
Yeah. And let me ask you this. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Buffalo played on a Saturday night against Miami.
Right.
If that had happened on a Saturday night, would they have played the Sunday games?
What do you mean?
The other games on Sunday?
The other games.
Yeah, I think so.
If a player had passed or just had this incident?
The same incident.
They would definitely play. The other teams, they definitely play. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, I would have thought.
I think the players on the field couldn't play because of what they saw.
Right.
No, I get that. But also the NFL, like if you noticed around the league, I don't know if some broke it, but nobody spoke today. They said out of because of what happened last night that they were out of respect that there were not going to be press conferences held. Like teams weren't going to hold any.
I saw Tomlin spoke today.
Tomlin did speak because Tomlin knew him growing up.
Oh, right, from Pittsburgh. Sure.
He was under no obligation to speak.
Okay, okay.
Because the NFL said they didn't have to if they didn't want to, out of respect for what happened
the night before. All of that stuff.
I agree with you. I think they probably play.
And all of that, Don, which I appreciate them doing. I'm glad I did it. They did it. That is all part of the new friendly, we care about the players NFL. That is a total attempt at image rehab. Good. I'm glad they're doing it. But just to be clear, this is all part of them trying to be seen as a different sort of entity.
True. But it's also we're all looked upon differently. Like Michael mentioned, the social media of the outrage that the game wasn't postponed right away. 10 years ago, I think the outrage would have been that the game was postponed. He's alive. Why aren't we playing?
But I think the world has changed, Don.
I think the world has slowly changed to where we've found out since 9/11 and certainly during COVID how little in the grand scheme of things all of this matters when we're talking about literal life and death. And I think that puts us in a better place. I know sometimes it can be frustrating, the huggy-kissy kind of atmosphere that we live in sometimes, especially with football where it's supposed to be go out there and, you know, drag your broken leg out there and play. Atmosphere that we live in, but I think we're in a better place, and I think last night showed that people overwhelmingly were appalled that took that long to postpone the game, where it probably wouldn't have been that long ago that people would have been red hot that the game was postponed.
It is kind of a sociological experiment, though. Everybody who says, well, yeah, the game can't be played, you know, right away they want them to cancel it without 5 minutes. The game was played, they'd watch. They wouldn't turn away in abject, like, horror. They watch.
Well, and also, I thought another thing that was fundamentally missed last night when everyone kept saying, they can't play. In my mind, I'm going, and maybe I was being stupidly optimistic, if they get a phone call that he's okay and he's breathing on his own, they're going to play. That was what they were hoping would happen in the first half hour.
I think the young man was in such bad shape, and I think it's still up in the air whether it's a good outcome that they couldn't play. And I agree. They shouldn't have played.
And you know what? We've had this conversation a bunch of times, Michael. Everybody copes with tragedy in a different way. I mean, you and I are kind of built from the same mold where, like, when my father passed away, I jumped right back into work. It was the way – that was my mechanism for being able to get over it, trying to get back to normal. I wouldn't fault anybody for watching that game if it were played. Doesn't mean that they're callous or insensitive. Maybe it would be a coping mechanism for them to be able to forget, you know, about – what they had just seen. So I wouldn't judge anybody on that. The same as I wouldn't judge anybody for saying I can't play for the next 2 weeks after seeing something like that.
All right, let's go to the phones. Gene in Kingston. Gene.
Yeah, just a comment on if the NFL decides to extend the season a week for 19th to the 19th week, it would be unfair to Buffalo and Cincinnati if they had to wait till week 19 to play. They should be playing this week, and then everybody plays the 19th. If not, all the playoff teams, even the wild cards, would get a week break while Cincinnati and Buffalo played the makeup game.
So you're saying, Gene, pick up the game in the first quarter this week, have no other games, and then have the entire slate of week 18 on week 19?
Right, because that way at least... Because if not, Cincinnati and Buffalo go from playing to the playoffs the following week.
And the team that gets the bye,
all the wild card teams get the rest.
Right, you're right. And the team that gets the bye is 3 weeks off. It's not a terrible idea.
But it's not happening.
It won't happen just because.
Well, they already said it's not being played this week.
Right.
It's postponed beyond this week. So
right.
It is a good idea, but it's not happening.
It is a lot of moving parts to postpone that many games and reschedule them. It seems easy for the following week, but, you know, with ticket sales and broadcast, it's a lot to do. I understand that it's unfair, but is it really that unfair? Is there anything that's not going to be, that's going to be 100%?
Right. Nothing's going to be perfect.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Let's go back to the phones as we wait on Robert Sala. You know what would be unbelievable, Peter? First show back, first show of 2023.
Go ahead.
And Robert's right up against it, and then he decides to join at 6 o'clock and just knocks Ian out of the box.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you, Don.
Really?
That's exactly right.
We don't touch Ian.
Wow.
And some things are sacred, and we hope that he can get here, but if he can't get here by 6, we move right on.
What if he get here at 5:55? You can take him for 5 minutes?
5 minutes. Thank you.
Let's, 5 good minutes.
Let's go to Michael in the car. Michael.
Hello?
Hello, Michael.
Hi. I think you make a valid point about discussing it with the partners. I know Don spoke the opposite way, but nobody at all today or last night is talking about consulting with Vegas or DraftKings or anybody to see how the gambling end of this is going to weigh in. And I'm wondering why. Has it been taboo to say that? Or to take the handle on this game had to be huge. You're probably talking in the billions.
No, I get it, but there's no way that they consulted with Vegas. I mean, that would be such an unbelievably bad look. So Vegas just refunded the money. They refunded the money.
Yeah, if you had
Vegas didn't lose money. I mean, they lost the money they would have made, maybe, but nobody lost money because of the fact they just gave the money back. They refunded the people their money, and I'm sure the people will bet that money on something else.
And listen, I know it's not as big as football, but there have been baseball games that have been rained out or not made up.
Right, that they can figure
out. Basketball games that have been moved or postponed. There's contingency plans for that.
Let's go to Schenectady because I like the way that that rolls off my tongue. And Roger's there. What's up, Rog?
Am I on? How you doing, guys? Sure. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a former military. So,
thank you for your service.
Thank you. You had to do what you had to do. Now, these players last night were both all in and said, we're not playing. So I don't care about the NFL or Disney or whatever. These guys were all in, and they said, we are not playing.
I agree.
So
I agree
what do you do after that?
You got to do it. They did the right thing, Roger. And the players' insistence on their inability to play drove the NFL to do the right thing. I mean, you can't prove what came first, the chicken or the egg. But if the players don't want to play, no matter what the NFL says, it just makes the NFL look bad if they say you have to play the game. And then there was going to be a forfeit because both teams were in agreement they couldn't play. Even the Bengals didn't want to play.
Yeah.
So, they did the right thing.
And that's kind of the way it should be, right? Because those are the guys that are on the field. They're the game, in essence. If they don't want to play, they shouldn't have to play. Now, the question would be, what if they did want to play?
Then I think they'd play.
What if for some reason they felt rallying around him or something to the effect of, we think it's in our best interest to play? Like, how would that look? When you've got the world screaming, postpone the game.
Yeah. That's an interesting point, Don. And if the players had all said, you know what, for us it makes more sense to play. We just want to move on. That is really interesting.
It would be interesting to see if the Bengals wanted to play.
Right.
And the Bills didn't. Then what do you do? Then I think the NFL has to make the they're the tiebreaker.
I'll tell you what, too, by the way, the Bengals and the city of Cincinnati were nothing but class last night.
Oh, they're great.
Right.
They're great.
And they deserve credit for it.
They were great. Let's go to, Tessa wants to just take you to task, Peter.
Okay, go ahead.
Tessa, New Jersey. Tessa.
Please. Hey, guys. Happy New Year. Thank you so much for taking my call. Of course, my thoughts and prayers are with DeMar. Listen, Peter, I don't care. It's a new year, but I'm going to be real, real petty right now.
I love it. Try it.
I still remember that day when I hung up and you was talking trash like, well, Tessa said they just going to roll over. Peter, you guys are the consistent team that whenever I'm sad, you always make me happy. You was talking so much trash. Your defense was great. But now look at y'all. Your own coach didn't even know that y'all was eliminated. He like, oh, we're going to be eliminated next week. Like, y'all are the worst. Like, y'all are the absolute worst. We're in the playoffs. You're not.
Wow, you are a bad trash. You are a bad guy.
Wow.
I just want to say you are a bad
guy. I don't care. I'm going to be a bad guy forever. And you guys are trash.
No.
New name.
First of all,
I don't care.
You
it's
said,
trash,
first
trash,
of
trash,
first
trash,
of all,
trash,
first of all, you were going to say, you said you would roll on us. There was a tie
game. Peter, let's play the
game. No.
I said, we're going to win. I said, we're going to win. I'm not worried about that.
No. Exactly. That's what you said. You said you weren't even worried about it.
Peter, I taste it because I taste it.
Okay.
I got on DVR.
I remember it wasn't that I had an issue with you saying they would win. It was how cavalierly you said it. Now, to be clear, there was a tie in one game, and you needed the absolute help of the referee to win the second game. So let's not act. And my team stinks.
Stop it.
No. Hold on. If you wanted to tell me that Washington stinks, I agree. This week, they were an absolute disgrace. I'm disgusted. But to look back on the Giants game, listen, the team that the Giants were this weekend against Indy, that was impressive. That is not who played the Commanders twice in a row.
Guess who we need to be, though? We coming up strong when we need to be like that. We didn't do that against Houston, which we should have, but we coming up strong when we need to be. Landon Collins, y'all let him go. Y'all let Landon Collins go. We only let him go because Dave Gettleman is slow and a dinosaur. Look what he did, Peter. Look what he did.
Yeah, he had a pick six against a horrible football team.
Well, one thing, Tessa, I mean, the Giants probably made the right move. The Washington overpaid for Landon Collins, and you don't pay that position that money. The only reason the Giants took him back is because getting him for free. And also injuries derailed him with Washington. So
listen, I have nothing to say about how pathetic my football team was. You will not hear me say it. It's an absolute disgrace. The benching of Taylor Heineke made no sense.
Yeah, why did they do it? Again, it made no sense.
For a spark. We need to get a spark. Let's bring in Carson Wentz, a guy who nobody likes and isn't good. We're going to bring him in instead of the kid who the whole team plays for and has been solid. It made no sense. They were awful. But not only that, they were awful defensively. They were awful coaching-wise.
That was your three-point pick, right?
Three-point pick.
Yeah, smart.
They were awful coaching-wise. They were awful in every single way.
No,
now, for Tessa, though, I just want you to keep this same energy throughout the rest of the season. No matter how the season ends, because she's acting like they're about to go on a 2007 run.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's what she said. We're doing it at the right time. All right, let's.
Man, you call Tessa a bad guy. And I take,
well, that was a bad guy call.
I take offense to that.
Well, no, by the way, that call shouldn't have been from Tessa. I think that was Danny using a voice decoder. No. That could not have been Tessa. She could not be that bad a guy.
Listen, I speak Tessa's language here, okay? She was just coming after you. All right, she's not making any bold predictions about the playoffs. She was comparing the Giants to the Commanders. And the way you were kind of talking up the Commanders, and there was a point, you did kind of swing the other way. I will give you credit for that, but there was a point you thought that the Commanders were going to kill the Giants. We thought that was going to be your three-point play. Remember, Michael?
Yeah.
Before we went to the
You
Commanders.
Insisted,
oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't do it.
And
I said, I don't
turned.
Like it.
It turned quickly. And the one thing I will agree with Tessa, I hate all the teams in the NFC East. But the one I hate the least are the Commanders, because you have given me a lot of happy moments.
Well, no, they have pooped the battle. Listen, guys, enjoy it. It's all about to be over. That's what I'm. Do you understand that?
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Because this
you don't think the Giants could beat the Vikings?
No. That's not what I mean about the Giants. Oh. No. I mean, and I truly believe this in my heart, and you can call me a fool. The sale is going to happen. Dan Snyder now apparently lives in England, he's saying. You read that? Dan Snyder said that his primary residence is England. Okay, see you later, buddy. Have a great day, mate. Because it's over.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, once Snyder is gone, he became Australian, not just British.
Interesting.
It's me, Dan Snyder, yeah?
But what if Snyder sells...
You know I love my commies, yeah?
What happens if Dan Snyder sells the team to an equally reprehensible human being?
He
not all rich people are good.
You know how I feel.
You don't like the rich.
And I don't love the rich. I don't love the rich. However, I truly believe it's not about good or bad. All the owners are bad. Snyder's specific, not all, a lot of the owners are bad. Snyder's specific karma has ruined this franchise. And I truly, in my heart of hearts, believe that this sale will go through and these days of laughing at the Commanders will end and we will be restored. We will return to our glory.
All right. Now, let me ask you this.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Did he really not know about being eliminated, or was he just playing games?
He said that, like, he'd only been thinking about the prospect of them winning, so he didn't even realize that they could be eliminated at 4 o'clock.
Really?
Not a good look.
Why do I think about every single thing that could happen if this move in life? And he didn't know.
Well,
his job is to be the coach of the Commies.
I know, but everyone was so bent out of shape about the fact that he didn't know that, because it was so obvious and glaring how stupid it was. What I was focused on was why on a 4th and short early in the game, Don, why Carson Wentz is 6'5", Brian Robinson is one of the most physical running backs in football.
Very physical.
On 4th and short, you decide to pitch left to Jonathan Williams. That's what I want. Why do you ever pitch left on 4th and short?
You're getting a little out of hand now. You're a bad guy.
But these coaches now with the 4th are always going on 4th. Okay, if you're going to go for it on 4th and short, I get it. Can you at least do what makes sense?
You're a bad guy.
I know. We are very close. I would say between the next 5 and 7 years, we will see a coach or couple of coaches that will no longer punt.
Right,
but their strategy will be, we're not punting the ball.
That's what my son does in Madden.
In tech, no, it's what all kids do.
Yeah,
in Madden.
It's unbelievable. All he does. I said, what are you doing? You 4th and 9 from the 1. Yeah, I'm going to go for it. That's not the way the game's played. And he's ahead of me.
By the way, no,
because analytically they'll say, well, it's
just as good.
Percentages
shot.
Are you can get 10 yards on 4 plays rather than 3.
No, I think it'll be. If you're backed up inside your own 20, you'd still punt. But anything beyond that, if you're at the 28. We're just going to go. Well, if we give up a field goal, we give up a field goal. We won't give up a touchdown.
Talk to Charlie. That's how he feels.
Listen, I coached the same way. For me, it was Tecmo Bowl.
He's got a new Tecmo Bowl. It's called Retro Bowl. It's the same thing.
Oh, really?
He plays on his iPad.
Oh, really?
Don, I'll have to give you it. You're going to love. I said, Don plays this. He goes, would he play me? I said, I'm sure he would. All right, so we're going to have Robert Saul, I'm hearing, when we get back. Maybe. We'll see. Let's hope.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Coach, first off, Happy New Year. How you doing?
Oh, no.
Sorry about that. Happy New Year. How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Before we get into your team, your thoughts on what unfolded yesterday. I mean, what does a coach do in a situation like that? Have you played that over in your mind?
It's a tragedy. You know, our hearts and our prayers are out for the entire organization, the families, especially DeMar and his family. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. So I can only imagine. I can't even imagine all the events that took place and yesterday and how it kind of unfolded.
And there's just no way that I mean, I couldn't see players being able to play, Coach. Would you agree?
I agree 100%. You know, it's already hard enough when one of the players goes down, and whether it's just a minor injury, it hurts a sideline. And for it to, for something like that to that degree, I think the entire country is shook.
All right, we're in the middle right now of the Gangrene Report, brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Your trip to Seattle did not go the way you wanted. What do you think went wrong, Coach?
First, obviously, you got to give credit to them. You know, that first run kind of first play of the game, get that 60-yard run to set a tone. But, you know, we had opportunities. You know, just when you turn the ball over and you make mistakes and you can't capitalize on things in the second half, it's not going to go your way. I think we're 17-6 at halftime, have the ball to start, have a chance to kind of to cut the lead, and we just couldn't get things going. And it stings. It's upsetting, especially with a chance to punch our ticket into the playoffs. But, you know, it stings. So.
Defensively, Coach, they seem to be leaking a little oil here as of late. Still statistically good, but just not that same bite, that same edge we saw early in the season. How much of that is on them, and how much of is it just not getting the offensive support during the course of games?
You know, it's I'll give credit. Now, Seattle's not exactly when you look at teams like Minnesota, Buffalo, Detroit, and Jacksonville, they're, you know, four top 10 offenses. So I give them credit, and I still feel like we did a really good job with those guys. We could have played a lot better. Obviously, the first quarter, we allowed some things that have been very uncharacteristic on our part with regards to just discipline. I think they had almost 200 yards in the first quarter, and then from then on, I think it was like 130. So, you know, just a really, really tough first quarter where things that hadn't been happening all year happened. You know, I've been satisfied with the way the defense has been playing. You know, we haven't been able to get the ball. That's been upsetting, a little disappointing. But overall, when you look at the opponents we've played, you know, just I've been happy with the way the defense has played.
Yeah, what happened with the turnovers? Because it was such a big part of your defense earlier. I think it's only two turnovers in the last seven games. Is it because of the competition, or are you guys doing something different?
No, it's again, you got to give some credit to them. We've been, you know, we've had some opportunities, had some takeaways, haven't capitalized, obviously. But you know, teams have when teams can play you a certain way, where you know they play to not screw things up and to play the safe game because of the, you know. It's just hard to get takeaways. And, you know, offenses play us in a certain way, especially since we've come away from the bye week. They play a certain style against us, and they've changed their style, and it's been a chore to try to get a takeaway. But, again, that's all part of team play. We've got to force the issue. We've got to force them in the throws that we want them to throw. And when they do make mistakes, we've got to take advantage of it, and it's something that we just haven't been able to take advantage of in the second half.
Coach, do you believe you had your team ready to play against Seattle on Sunday?
You know, obviously, you know, you can argue we didn't. You know, we tried some things. We left on Friday. There's a lot of different things that we tried, and you can look back and say it wasn't good enough. Obviously, it wasn't good enough. So whether you win or lose, I'm always going to go back and reflect on whether or not I did my part as a football coach. And so you can argue that they weren't ready to play, but you know, it's anytime you lose, you're always going to look at why, and I'm always going to start with me.
Coach, there are no more five-year plans in sports. Everything is microwaved. Everything has to happen right away, and there are a lot of loud whispers. You know, LaFleur is not the guy to be the offensive coordinator. The offense hasn't done a good job. And I said this earlier in the show. Well, how do you judge a guy when the quarterback has played as poorly? I mean, how do you get an offense going if your quarterback's not clicking? So what are your thoughts on LaFleur, and what are your thoughts on possibly making a change? Is that something that's hanging in the air right now?
No, you know, it's when you look at it, the offense, you know, it's a very young, talented group. And I can sit here and I can give excuses. I can talk about the lack of cohesiveness or consistency at the O-line position because of injuries, the QB play. You can talk about anything, and we could always make excuses. But again, it's just it's an opportunity for us to look inward. It's an opportunity for Mike to look inward and what can we have done better? What can I have done better as a coach? What have players done better for themselves? What could we have done better from a personnel standpoint? So it's all stuff that we really got to dig deep into and look and you just want to be careful that you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And you got to be very careful and make sure you're being very thoughtful in your assessment of what actually happened and why haven't things been clicking. And to pin something on one person, especially in the sport of football where there's a million moving parts on every single play is to me, it's irresponsible. So, yeah. Again, in all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams, there's always a year-end evaluation, and we'll look deep at everything, including myself. So, but that the evaluation of it all to sit back and take a deep breath to really truly get the truth of what happened is very important.
You brought up the offensive line, and it's all connected, right? How do you get good quarterback play if you don't get the protection from the offensive line? How culpable is the offensive line to the overall dysfunction of the offense?
Well, to me, the O-line play is the – so quarterback is the most important position on the football team. We agree?
Yep.
We agree, right?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm with you.
And so my mindset is if the quarterback is the most important position on the football field, how can you make his life miserable without making it easy on him? Well, that's a four-man rush. So then here comes your D-line. Well, if the D-line is there to make his life miserable, how do you protect the most important position on the football team? That's your O-line. Because if you can't protect them, you're going to have the five greatest skill players in the history of football. If the quarterback can't throw them the football, then it doesn't matter. And that's where O-line is just so important to everything. And can be argued in some places that they're more important than they're just as important as a quarterback. It's depending on what building you're in. And to their credit, you know, guys like Dwayne and George and Herbig, I mean, they have been battling with so many injuries for this team and just fighting to just make it to Sunday. And so, you know, it's hats off to them and what they've sacrificed for this team. But, you know, it's just the having guys moved around. Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough. But I don't fault them for how hard they've worked to try to get on the football field, and a testament to them and their character.
Do you agree with the assessment that a really critical point in this season was that Patriots loss? At the time, you guys had only lost three games. Everything was really good. You won like four or five at that point. And then that punt return. Do you see that as a critical turning point potentially for the season?
No, because we came back the next week and beat Chicago pretty good. And then we went to Minnesota and we're a yard away from winning the football game with 30 seconds left or a minute left. We have the ball with a minute left against Buffalo to tie the game. We're a fourth and inches away from winning a game against Detroit. Call a timeout, Rob, and maybe we get an extra play in, like against Detroit. So we bounce back. The last 2 weeks, so I agree. That's where I'm just kind of stuck on that. Where could I have been better? Because I feel like we didn't play close to what our standard is, and that's all of us. And I forget that's the part where I look and I try to feel out where, like, how come we didn't play our best when our best was required? And those are the answers I'm trying to find.
Mm-hmm. Coach, it's taken almost as a fait accompli, but you're the one, and Joe Douglas is the one that's going to make this decision. Do you guys need a new quarterback for next year, or is Zach Wilson still in play?
So again, we're not, like I said, we're not quitting on Zach, but again, it's something that we've got to sit down. I don't have an answer for you. And, I know Joe will have the stage at the end of the season at the year end review, but there's a lot of discussions that have to be had before we even have an answer. But I know Zach is not going anywhere.
Can I ask you this then? You plan on starting Mike White this weekend. Why not start Zach Wilson? The game doesn't mean anything. Don't you need more intel on him?
No. Like I said, for Zach, it's not about his playing ability. You know, Zach is a very talented young man, and we have a lot of faith in him, but it's sometimes playing can be counterproductive. And for Zach, we have all the faith in the world in him. He has tremendous arm talent. And like I said, he needs to hit the reset button. And it's one of those situations with Mike White. If Mike's ready to go, he's going to play.
But isn't that scary, though, Coach, that he could be that fragile? I mean, he's the second pick in the draft.
No, it's not about being fragile. A kid's as tough as nails. He is. This is not about being fragile. And so whatever narrative that is, it's not even close to that. There's, you know, I'm not going to get into full detail, but, you know, there's for Zach, like these young men take time. I mean, we've got guys all over our roster that were cut by other teams that ended up playing well, or they've been here. You got a guy across town who, is in his fourth year and it's clicking for him. And, you know, so it takes time. And sometimes you can do more damage than good. And as a coaching staff, and we're trying to do good by him to make sure that we do everything we can to get him back, but, and which we will, but, there's examples all over the league where you hit the eject button on these young men way too soon, and you know you panic sell, panic play, panic cut, panic whatever, panic pay, and you don't sit back and just watch the tape, evaluate, make a good sound decision, and do what's best for the organization. And for Zach, his story is not even close to being told yet. Just like 95% of the players in this league. It takes time, and we're committed to giving that young man time to see if we can get him point in the direction that we're hoping he can go.
So suffice it to say, the initial reset did not do the trick, or you would have preferred he never had to come back this year. It's just the injury happened to White, and he had to come back.
You could say that, but you know, it's this is I like I said, you know, it's you can create whatever narrative you want and all that. It's, but at the end of the day, like this is a situation. There's a good off season, a third year in a system, a third year watching football, a third year. Let's get him a healthy camp. Let's get him a healthy OTAs. Let's get him a healthy preseason, and I think he's going to come back strong.
Okay. Final thing, Coach. I'm just wondering. You know, you guys have lost five in a row. Before that, I mean, it was such a celebratory type of feel about this team, and you've gone so far in 2 years. Will you leave this season with a bitter taste in your mouth because you guys couldn't close out the playoff run?
Initially, I think we all do, right? You have something at your fingertips and it slips. So the initial jolt, or when you get punched in the mouth, the initial punch of, man, that hurt, turns into, well, geez, how the heck did that happen? And then when you come up with the answers of why that happened, you can sit back and reflect on the events that took place. But at the same time, after all of this dust settles, I think it's so important to recognize the things that we have done. You just hit it. We're so far ahead of where we were 2 years ago. We're a year ahead, really. And in my opinion, we've got a top five defense. We've got skill guys all over our offense, a lot of them who are hurt, and we'll hopefully get a few of them back next year. And so there's a lot of things to really look forward to in 2023. And I think when everything settles down and we all have a chance to reflect on the 23-22 season, I think we'll see a lot of really, really good things that took place. But right now it sucks and it hurts. And I think, and there's a lot of people angry, including myself. But at the same time, we'd be remiss not to be able to reflect and look at all the really good things that we've been able to accomplish.
Coach, thank you and good luck this weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.